All right, this is going to be a really, it's a basic lesson. It's very simple, and basically, because of the simplicity of the gospel, anything that Paul teaches us ought to be simple. Turn if you would, we're going to go to basically, the home plate is going to be Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And of course, you know, everybody knows these. But I'm going to go ahead and read them. I'm just going to ask a couple questions. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I guess my first question will be, and obviously I want you to answer them. Has grace always existed? Has grace always existed?
Sure.
See, that was a discussion that I had with my former pastor when I first began to understand right dividing. And I said, well, sure, yeah, grace has always been there. But the dispensation of grace has not always been in place. And there is a difference. And initially, well, I'm going to give you the definition. Grace, and this is kind of unique that one of the words in the definition is basically its polar opposite. Grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor, showing mercy. We'll stop right there. He knows it. How is mercy basically the polar opposite of grace? Grace is God giving us something that we do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving us something that we do deserve. But yet, part of the definition for grace is mercy. Because God is not pouring out His wrath on us, because that's what we really deserve. Okay? Now, showing loving kindness, showing forgiveness, showing affection towards us, not even being a simple man. So, grace has always existed. So, you can hold your spot there. Turn to Genesis. Why do we need grace? Turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'll start there first. Genesis 1. Very familiar passage. Everyone knows it. Everyone in here knows it. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 26, 27, and 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. There's another study right there in itself. Replenish. And subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Let me ask you this. Was grace needed right then? Was there a need for grace when God created man in His image and in the image of God created He them?
No.
Grace was not needed. Okay? There was nothing that God was going to give us that we didn't already have. We were in His image. Now, that doesn't mean we look like Him or we had all His characteristics. But what it did mean is we had a pure nature. We didn't have that sinful nature that we all have now. Okay? But grace existed. So when did grace come about? Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Was grace needed now?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. The pure nature was gone because of the sin that took place in the garden. Okay? They were like God. They knew both good and evil. I kind of looked at that very closely. You know, not only did they not know evil, but they couldn't have known good. Because if they'd have known good, then they know the opposite of it would have been evil. So in that sense, they knew not good or evil. They just had a pure conscience. Okay? But grace was needed. So if you would, might be on closer to the same page. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to look at grace. In verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and every creeping thing, and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God repented. Doesn't mean confessing your sin. Okay? Means change your mind. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay? Grace was there. Turn to chapter 19. And I'm sure Noah was very happy about that. Genesis 19, and let's look at verse 18. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape, to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Lot received some grace. He also received some mercy, because he didn't get what everybody else there got. Okay? But grace came upon him. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Moses found grace in God's sight. Now let me ask you this. Did everyone at Noah's time find grace? Everyone in Noah's time find grace.
You mean Noah and his family, or you mean all the people?
Everyone.
All the people
that know. It was 8 people. There's no telling how many tens, hundreds of thousands of people were on the face of the earth. 8 people got grace. What about with Lot? Lot and his family, and one of them turned around and did what they weren't supposed to, and that was short-lived. But they received grace. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. What about Moses? 40 years in the wilderness, how many people died?
All that came out of Egypt.
All that came out of Egypt. So we see that grace, the reason we need to be saved is because we lost that pure nature. We received that sinful nature. We see that grace was not openly given. It was what I call an individual grace. God poured His grace out on individuals at times. Okay? That's the difference between what was and the but now. But now, grace is collective. Okay? Not when you receive it, but God in His mercy gave us grace by sending His Son to die on the cross, by giving us a plan of salvation that we could escape wrath and we'd go to be in heaven. Okay? But obviously not every man is going to accept that. But we live in now the dispensation of grace where grace abounds. It's open. Okay? Turn if you would to Ephesians chapter 3. Remember in Romans 11, all these different points that Paul makes out that Israel is blinded, Israel has fallen, Israel's been cut off, all these different things, so that basically Israel is counted amongst who? They're counted amongst us Gentiles. I mean, everyone has been cast into unbelief. Israel was cast into unbelief where you and I already were. Okay? So Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, for this cause, in verse 1, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, who's he speaking to? I mean, what groups of people exist at this point? Now, the day of Pentecost, we understood there was Peter's flock believing Israel. A mass of Jews and Israelites that did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And then you had the Gentile world. Okay? Now, you had, of course, now they all died off, Peter's little flock. All non-believing Israel was cast in unbelief where we were. So there's only Gentiles. There's just this world of sinful people. So Paul is this minister, and he writes, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace, which is given to me to you, okay? This dispensation of grace, this outpouring of grace, a collective grace, is spread out for everyone. So we've established that there was a need for grace. We've established that grace is given openly, collectively to everyone, without discrimination, without whether you be Jew, Gentile, anything. What comes next? If you go back to that verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Okay? The word faith. Now, I'm not good at English. Adjectives, pronouns, all that kind of stuff. But as you read this, for by grace are you saved through faith. That word faith, that is a noun. Okay? What is a noun? What is a noun? Person, place, or thing. Okay? My daughter. Thank you. Okay?
They've already changed English on me.
For by grace are you saved through
a thing.
Okay? For by grace are you saved through a thing. If this was, and by the word, that Greek word is pistis, which is a noun. P-I-S-T-I-S. Okay? It is a noun. This is not you believing. Okay? If it was something you were believing, what would this word be? It would be a verb. And I'll turn to that later and tell you what that is. So this is a noun. Let's get some examples of this noun. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and let's look at verse 20. We'll start at verse 21. But now the righteousness, and keep that in your mind, the righteousness of God, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. for there is no difference. Okay? This is that same word. It's the word pistis. It is a noun. It is a divinely implanted principle. Okay? That is the thing. It is something that we received from Christ. There is nothing, since the fall of man, there is nothing in and of us that's any good that we have in ourselves. Our righteousness is not any good. Our faith is not any good. There is nothing that we have that is any good. That's why when we put our faith and trust in what Christ has already done, we get whose faith?
Christ.
We get whose righteousness? It all comes from Him. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. You know where I'm going with this. What verse am I going to go to?
16.
Thank you. That's what I said. This is a simple. It's simple. But you know what? For 30-something years, I couldn't see it. Because the Bible that I read took out the word of and had in. If you take out the word faith of Christ and change it to faith in Christ, that word turns from a noun to a verb. It completely changes what that verse says. But man at large doesn't see it and they say, oh, I'll say the same thing. No, it doesn't. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So there is another example of this faith, which is a noun. It is something that we receive from Christ. Turn to, you might have turned over one page, go to chapter 3, verse 22. This is where we find that Israel is in the same boat with us. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Okay? Now if you actually researched and went in there and looked up that word believe, it's going to be a completely different word. That's going to be the word, the verb word. I'll go ahead and do this. The word believe. Pitio. There's two words that in the Greek that they use for faith or believe, and those are the verbs. One is P-I-S-T-E-U-O. And P-E-I-T-H-O. These are the verbs. This is the believing, or to be persuaded in this manner. Okay? But what we're talking about, this noun, which is pistis, a living, divinely implanted principle. That's what we're talking about. And you'll see the difference of the two just in that one verse, whereas the first one, that the promise by faith, that noun, of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, the verb. Okay, also turn to Philippians 3:9. And being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, for that would be worthless. I mean, there's nothing in and of myself that is any good. And being found in Him, having not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Okay? So, we see that it is a free gift. Let's look at... And it's by believing, by faith. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, let's look at verse 15 through 18. This is the gift that we're talking about. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was, but by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all unto justification of life. Okay? We see that it is a free gift. If you have to do something, it ain't free. If you have to pay, if you have to do something for it, it ain't free. Excuse that English, but it's just not. So, how does... Is anybody getting hot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You might just flip it to cool, please. I'm probably taking one bath today. But this is, by changing that word, faith of Christ, to faith in Christ, that is something that you did. And if it's something that you do, then it can't be a free gift. And it's something that you did to receive it. So let's look at some examples of what it is not. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Free to us, but cost God His Son, cost Jesus His own life. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24 and 25. This is that righteousness that was by the law. And the Lord commanded us to do. You see that word? All these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. I have discussed, argued, showed this verse, and showed family and friends salvation was by works at one time. Everybody wants to stay away from that. They think it's just the Jehovah's Witness that believe that. You know what? The Jehovah's Witness got it right on the money. It's just they're in their own dispensation.
It's even their righteousness.
I mean, they are doing exactly what Israel did. But they don't notice that that dispensation has ceased and a new one has begun. Turn to, that's just the Old Testament. That's what they did back then. Well, we're going to turn to what man calls the New Testament. Turn to Matthew, even though it's still Old Testament. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Where am I going? Matthew 19. And let's start at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Was there any doubt that Israel had to do something? I mean, from the very beginning of Scriptures to the time when Jesus is walking on the earth, I got to do something. And He had stuff for Him to do. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. That's the do. Okay? So, little doubt, that's what they had to do. Now, as I read on, I've heard all kinds of spiritualizations of what was really going on here, but we'll look at that too. He saith unto him, oh wait, why callest thou me good? Keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? All these things have I kept since my youth up. You think he's just bragging? I mean, I hear people's explanations. Oh, this guy's just bragging. He couldn't have done that. He wasn't bragging. He did what he said he did. Turn to, where do I want to go? Turn to Genesis chapter 6 for a minute. Keep your spot right there. We're going to come back. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. And let's read verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Now, I understand the perfect in his generations is not something he did, more or less, it's something that they didn't do. They did not marry with those fallen angels, okay? But he was a just man. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Does that mean they never sinned?
No.
No. Didn't mean they never sinned. But they were blameless before God because of what? When they did mess up, there was an ordinance or a statute that they had to go do something, and they went and did it. Therefore, they were righteous. What did Deuteronomy say? If you will observe and do these ordinances and statutes, it shall be your righteousness. Luke 1 proves it. Okay? That's not us. Now, this is when Jesus was on the earth. So, I mean, I know it's still Old Testament, but turn to Acts chapter 10. Where am I going? Come on, where am I going? Acts chapter 10. Yeah, imagine that. You know, I like to keep little papers like that handy. I mean, this looks like a bunch of chicken scratch, you guys, I know. And I really ought to do a better job. You know, I see Paul and them up there with all this stuff printed out. I have no idea how to put a lesson on a computer. My luck, I get it all typed out and do something wrong with it. If I write it on a pen, you know, I can scratch it out and keep on going. I mess up on the computer, it's just gone. So, so we're here at Cornelius. And I need to turn the page, get to chapter 10. In verse 34, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Is there any doubt works were required? Turn to James chapter 2. I mean, I'm not trying to beat this horse to death, but let's make sure he's good and dead. James chapter 2, and I could read the whole passage, but you know, I'm just going to come in at verse 24. James chapter 2 and verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. There is no way we can say that today. No way. Otherwise, we do not receive that gift of grace. Okay, so we've read these verses. Now, let's compare them to what Paul tells us about this grace. Turn to Romans chapter 4. These would be like the polar opposites of what we just got done reading. Romans chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 4. See, I know there's nobody in that back room right now, so I'm talking real loud. Normally I probably wouldn't do that, but... Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Is there any doubt that they don't mix? Grace was doled out in times past, basically on an individual basis as God saw fit. Grace has been doled out openly during the dispensation of grace. It's just a matter of whether you're going to accept that free gift or not. It's been given to everyone. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Okay, understand that. In verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth. That is the verb, okay, that I told you about earlier. On him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. His faith. It's your faith now, but that was the faith, that was that living, divinely implanted principle, that now, that God gave you. That's the faith that you have your righteousness through. That's what that verse says. Turn to Titus. Anybody know the passage? Titus chapter 3, verse 5. We'll start at verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And turn back to Ephesians 2. We can read verse 9 on itself, not of works, lest any man should boast. But what I want to go back to is verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Is there any doubt when we read Genesis and Matthew and Acts and James that had to do with self? That had to do with something someone did? But I like this. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It. What is it? You know, sometimes English will answer a lot of our questions. That word it, what's it referring to? It's referring to that faith. For by grace you saved through faith and that not of yourself. It. It's a noun. It's not a verb. It's not something that we have done. We have a greater responsibility. Now, you know, I'm glad that I didn't live in the dispensation of the kingdom or dispensation of the law. All those dispensations that came before the one I live in now. I've used this analogy before, and I'll use it again now. Some of you who have heard it just have to hear it again. As a prisoner, you were told, this is kind of, this is the way Hunter feels right now. He said, this is like being a prisoner. Of course, he doesn't know what it is to be a prisoner, but as a prisoner, you were told what to do, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it, if you can do it, everything. There's no responsibility in that. They tell you to jump, you jump. They tell you how high, that's how high you jump. They tell you you get to go outside and play the basketball and play the weights and walk the track. That's what you do when you do it. When they want to shake your bunk down, they'll shake your bunk down. There's no responsibilities there. You do what you're told. But as a free person, that's you and me as a believer, we've received this gift. We've been set free from the law of sin. We've been bound to another. We have a greater responsibility. We're out there. You're going to decide what clothes you're going to put on when you get up first thing in the morning. What you're going to have for breakfast. How fast you're going to drive to work. What you're going to do that day. What you're going to eat. How you're going to respond to people. Everything that you do in the day as a free person, it's choice. That's the same way in our spiritual life. As a prisoner under sin, you got no responsibility. You go do whatever the heck you want to do. Because I guess it all depends on how you view it. Who cares? There's nothing there to keep you from doing it. Whether you don't believe in God or it's just convenient not to believe in Him, that way you can live that way. Or you never thought about it. But you're freedom. But in your spiritual life, there is consequences to every decision you make. And there is this responsibility that we have. And that's where verse 10 comes in. And I didn't read it, but I'm doing it now. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, there is no works involved. It's a free gift of grace through faith. And it's all what Christ did. But you know, once we are saved, there is a responsibility. And it is a far bigger responsibility than it was when you weren't saved. There are things that we have been created to do with this new nature that we have. You know, we went from a people that had a pure nature, and had Cain, when had Adam and Eve, and they fell, and we had this fallen nature, this sinful nature. But now you actually have, and I did a lesson on this, I think 4 minutes of the Bible. We have this new nature that is in us, and it's still doing battle with this old man. But we have a greater responsibility for this.